My series is called Your Kingdom Come. We're in a great, great series all about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. You know, they're synonymous. When you hear kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, they're the same thing. So we're talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, when you pray, Matthew chapter 6, when you pray, say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right. God's greatest plan was to bring his kingdom to earth. Not just to bring it, but to advance it, to grow it, to further it. Everywhere that Jesus went, what did he do? He went preaching the kingdom of God, explaining the kingdom of God, expounding the kingdom of God, describing the kingdom of God, often in very powerful, profound stories called parables. Jesus, of course, the greatest storyteller ever, told a parable in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Now, Jesus was having dinner right after, or lunch right after church. It was right after church. He was talking to one of the religious leaders, and they were talking back and forth. And then he launches into this parable called the Parable of the Great Banquet. Luke chapter 14, verse 16, says, Jesus replied, a certain man, now he said a certain man, not just a certain man. When he said certain, he meant a man, a very important man, an influential man, a very powerful man, was preparing a great banquet, not just a banquet, but a what? Great banquet, where he spared absolutely no expense and invited many guests. At that time, at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. This is a story of the kingdom of heaven. This is a story of God himself, and this is the story of how God relates to us, you and I. And this event, I tell you, it's not an ordinary event. It is a mega event. It is the event of above all other events. Amen? It is the event that you will not want to miss. Every one of us wants to come. You will not want to miss this event. He has a meal prepared for all of us, and we've all been given this invitation. And it's an undeserved invitation. It is unmerited, it is unearned, and it is literally full of grace. God has literally opened wide his doors and said, anyone who wants to come is invited. Here's the reality. This invitation that God has given to us is so undeserved. We did nothing to deserve this invitation. Verse 18. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, I have just bought a field. I must go see it, and so please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen. This guy must have been pretty wealthy. It's like owning a whole fleet of trucks. And on my way to try them out, please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported to his master. Then the owner reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry. He became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind and the lame. Sir, the servant replied, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Now listen to this. Listen to this part. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. This is an undeserved invitation. He already had a preset list of chosen, invited people who did not want to come. And so he illogically, undeservedly invites anyone, anywhere to come. You know what I say? Wow. Wow. This is a picture of the kingdom of heaven. This is the picture of God himself. Now, the people that Jesus was telling his story to would have had a hard time listening to this, because they were Jewish. They were Israelites. They were God's chosen people. Throughout the history, throughout the law, they were God's people. And now he's saying, now here's Jesus. He's God in the flesh. He shows up on the scene and he's opening it up to everyone, to Jews, yes, and to all Gentiles alike, you and me. And he's saying the doors are wide open and everyone is invited. And he shatters their self-righteous image. I'll ask you a question. Have you ever been invited to some great event or party? You know, maybe by some prominent or important person. Have you ever been invited to something like that? Let me set a scenario up for you. It's the 2020. It's the 2021. They called it 2020 Summer Olympics. Don't you love the Olympics? I love the Olympics. I could watch it all day. I love watching that competition and that, you know, there's so much emotion and everything packed into it, right? I mean, I especially love the track and field. So, let me set a scenario. So somehow, you get an invitation by the IOC, Olympic, the president, to fly to Tokyo, Japan, and to sit in the presidential box with all the hors d'oeuvres and all the sushi that you can eat. And it's all expenses paid. You know what you would do? Unless you're nuts. You tell your friends, you say, wow, I just can't believe that I got this invite. I just got this. And you'd be Twittering, you'd be Facebooking people, you'd be telling people, I got this. It's just crazy I got this invite. Another question, would you turn it down? Would you turn down that invitation? Like I said, not unless you're crazy, right? Not unless, you know what you do? You cancel stuff that you planned for that week. You cancel school, you cancel work. You would even postpone the wedding, and you would shout out loud, I am going to that party. Amen? Do you agree with that? The master in this story is given an invitation far beyond any earthly invitation. And you know where it is to? It's to the kingdom of heaven. It's to the kingdom of God. And people in this story are turning it down. I say, wow, they're actually turning it down. But the reality is that people today in this world are still turning it down. But in this story, we see clearly, and it's on your screen, the heart and the nature of God himself is one of inclusion. It includes everyone. Every one of us has this access, right? And we can't earn it. We can't buy this invitation. It is freely given to each one of us, right? That's heart. That's God's heart. And that's God's nature, right? Well, here in our church at City Light, our heart and our nature is for everyone to move forward into the promises of God. We want more for you. And I believe that's the heart of God, to keep advancing. No matter what problems no matter trials, no matter difficult times that you're going through, that you don't get stalled there, that you believe more from God. You keep moving forward, right? That you live by faith and not by sight and not by reasoning. And that you want to continually believe God for more. Because I want to tell you, the Word of God tells us that God has more for you. He's got more life. He's got more health for you. He's got more joy. He's got more peace, right? He's got more prosperity for you. God has more for you. Do you agree with that? Can you say with me this morning and say this enthusiastically? God has more for me. I believe it and I receive it. You got to believe it to receive it. Amen? You got to believe it to receive it. That's God's heart. That's our heart. But also here at City Light Church, we also believe that God has more people that he wants to add to us all the time. And just like God, I want you to consider everybody, right? I want you to take that invitation and give it to anybody, anywhere, at any time. Because that invitation is for everyone. Amen? God leads the way. Now he wants us to extend this undeserved invitation to every single person that we come in contact with. Do you believe that? You probably heard some of these stats, recent stats. 82% of people, we'll see it on our screen here, 82% of people said that they would come to church if invited by somebody. Now listen to this stat. 70% of unchurched people say that they have never been invited by anybody. Wow, something is wrong there. This week, you know, and I've prayed over this message. I want to really challenge you, and I've challenged myself. And even since that challenge, it's made a difference in my life. Part of my life that it was self-centered has been taken away from me. And I've started to look differently at people. And I've started to spend my time differently. And I'll maybe share with you, I don't have time to share with you, some encounters that I've had just recently when I sat with God. And I just got on my knees and I said, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm living such a self-centered life. You know, the purpose of preaching is to make our thinking come in alignment with the Word of God, right? With kingdom-minded thinking. And so today, what I'm doing is I'm challenging the common Christian view that Christians have accepted. Jesus did not give us a great suggestion. He gave us a great commission, right? That's what he gave us. And Jesus' command is not optional to go and reach the world for Jesus, for himself, to make disciples, is it? It's not optional and it's not reasonable. You see, we cannot reason our way out of this commandment. I'm laying a heavy message on you. But I'm trying to do it with grace, right? So nobody's going to get mad at me. Get mad at God. Don't get mad at me, right? I'm just telling you what the Word says. Listen, I realize this. We've just got to pay more attention to what Jesus is saying. We've got to pay more attention to what the Word of God is saying. Amen? You know, the parables, all the parables that Jesus spoke, they shout out these two words. Pay attention, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. I'm going to tell you about this incredible thing called the kingdom of God. Pay attention. Every single parable that Jesus told us, when we read it, he wants us to personalize it. When I say personalize it, put yourself in that story. Amen? So in this particular parable of the great banquet, who are you, where are you, or who are you in this story? Well, I tell you, you are not the master, the incredibly rich, powerful, influential man. That's not you, is it? And I want to tell you, you're not even the one that's getting the invitation. You know why? Because most of you, you've already accepted that invitation. You're already going to the party. So that's not you in the story, is it? So who are you? You know who you are? You're the servant. You're the servant. You are a citizen of the kingdom. You are a child of God. You're ambassador of Christ. And you are a servant to obey the king. Right? Four aspects regarding this undeserved invitation from the master. Number one, are you ready for this? Write this down. Number one, it is your obligation to extend his invitation. It is your obligation, your moral obligation, to extend his invitation. Don't base your invitations on what seems reasonable. The Bible says we're to live by faith and not by reasoning, not by sight. The Bible says you can't even please God without faith, right? So the essence of faith is that it is unreasonable at times. It is sometimes inconvenient. It's often very uncomfortable. Sometimes it's just risky. Inviting people requires faith. I believe that we have a moral obligation to share the gospel with every single person we come in contact with, anytime, anywhere. Can you give me some amens? Thank you. I was doing some research, and I came across this guy. Never heard about him before. Here's a picture of him and his wife. This is Shiyun Shigehara. He caught me because he's Japanese. And he's a Christian. This man has some history. Let me read a bit of his story to you, okay? Listen, this man saved 6,000 Jews. He was a Japanese diplomat in Lithuania. When the Nazis began rounding up Jews, Shigehara risked his life by issuing unlawful travel visas to the Jews. He asked the Japanese consulate for permission to write these Jews who were trying to escape out of Europe, but the consulate refused his permission. He was ordered not to write a single visa under any circumstances. But he and his wife concluded that they had to do what was right, that they had a moral obligation to save these lives. And so he hand wrote these visas 18 hours a day. The day his consulate closed and he had to evacuate, the witnesses claimed that he was still writing visas and throwing them from the train as he pulled away. And it says the world did not know what he had done until Israel, the nation of Israel, honored him in 1985, the year before he died. It is estimated today that as many as 100,000 people are alive today and are descendants of the recipients of the Shigehara visas. A moral obligation. It was risky, it was inconvenient, it was uncomfortable, and it was even dangerous. We believe in Jesus, amen? We believe that he's the Son of God, right? He's God in the flesh. Amen? We also believe in heaven and hell, don't we? That they are real places, right? Jesus often talked about them. If we believe in that, then you and I, we have to take hold of our moral obligation and give that invitation to people anytime, anywhere, anyone. Luke chapter 14, 21. The master said, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, crippled, the blind, and the lame. poor, crippled, blind, and the lame. This is a picture of all of us. We all came in hurt. We all came in broken. We all came into the kingdom needing help. Amen? But God's grace and God's goodness received us exactly where we are. But then he begins a process. He didn't just leave us alone, but then he begins a process in our life. Little by little, he begins to change our life, right? And he begins to put our life back together. And as we continue to show up, as we continue to stay faithful for years and beyond, it's amazing what God will begin to do in your life. Amen? I was listening to this podcast by a very prominent, well-known, successful business guy. He was talking all about sales, selling and salesmanship. And he was talking to people who had achieved high levels of success and entrepreneurs. And this guy has an incredible track record of sales and success. And of course, his name is Zig Ziglar. And this is what Ziglar said. I've got him written on the screen. When you have a product or service to offer that genuinely meets a need or a niche, then you have a moral obligation to sell that product to that target market. When you have that type of conviction that what you have to offer will actually help people and is of tremendous value to people, you have the moral obligation to offer that product. I say, how much more, as God's ambassadors, do we have a moral obligation to extend his kingdom invitation to every person that we come in contact with? Amen? And our invitation is not just for the likely candidates. It's for good people, it's for bad people, and even people who are indifferent. Even people who say to you no the first time. Number two, we see in this story several things. Number two, don't base your invitations on past experiences. Don't base them on past. We've all had bad experiences, right? Inviting people to church, trying to share the gospel with people. We've all had bad experiences, but don't let your past bad experiences keep you from giving this invitation. Don't let it, because sometimes the people that you think they're least likely to accept it are usually the first ones to do it, right? And vice versa. D.L. Moody is one of my heroes of faith. D.L. Moody, incredible, incredible man. Simple guy, but man, what he did for God was just incredible. D.L. Moody is one of my heroes of faith. And let me tell you a bit about him. He made a covenant with God that he would witness for Christ to at least one person each day. One person. Well, one time, one night, about 10 o'clock, he realized he had not yet witness to anyone. So he went out in the street and he spoke to a man who was standing by a lamppost, and he asked him, "Are you a Christian?" The man flew into a violent rage and threatened to knock Moody into the gutter. Later that same day, that man went to his church, spoke to the pastor, the elder in the church, and complained that Moody was doing more harm in Chicago than 10 men who were doing good. Well, the elder begged Moody to temper his zeal with knowledge. But, you know, when Moody heard that, he had a struggle. He thought, he cried out to God. He says, "God, am I really doing more harm than good? Maybe I should. Maybe I should stop trying to tell people." 3 months later, Moody was awakened at the YMCA. He was staying at the YMCA by a man knocking on the door. It was a man he had witnessed to. "I want to talk to you about my soul," he said to Moody. He apologized for the way he had treated Moody and said that he had had no peace ever since that night on Lake Street when Moody witnessed to him. Moody led that man to Christ, and he became a zealous Christian, a worker in the house of God. You know what? Don't base your invitation on your reasoning. Amen? Extend that invitation to everyone around you. Number three, stay committed to actively inviting people in different ways, in fresh ways. Maybe give them a good Christian book to read. Or maybe invite them to a backyard barbecue. Or maybe invite them to divorce care that's happening in September. You know, get out and go and do Pray and Go. Pray and Go is an invitation that we put on people's door. Door hangs we put on doorknobs to say, hey, listen, we're City Light Church. We love you. If you need anything, let us know. We're trying to connect with people, contact people. Amen? You know, we did, Karen and I did Pray and Go last week. It took us like 30 minutes, and we prayed for every single house on that block. And we need more people to get involved in Pray and Go. I just talked to Jessica. I says, so how's it going? She says, well, it's kind of just stalled. People are just not doing it. Come on. I mean, what are we living for, right? We're here to advance the kingdom of God. Something like Pray and Go is so simple. Come on, anyway, I want to be like a parent talking to his kids, but I just want to encourage you. We need to spend our time and our focus on doing things that really matter for eternity. These things matter to God. These things make a big difference in those people's lives. These are seeds that are being planted for eternity, for the great banquet. Amen? There's a heaven and there's a hell, and you can make a difference. You know, do different things, or simply just invite someone to church. Even better, bring someone to church. You never know how God will use a simple invitation. Luke 14:23. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads, the country lanes, and compel them to come in. Compel, that's a strong word. You know what it means? It means to urge, to persist earnestly, persistently persuade someone to do something. To force, to pressure, to push, to urge. You know, there's some force in that word, right? It means don't be complacent. You know, as a church, I want us to be missional. I want us to be going out. And I want to be a person that goes out way more myself. You know, always saying, you know, as a church, we always want to be going out, always saying, come and see how good God is. Come to church. Last week, or a couple weeks ago, Megan Jansen's small group went out evangelizing in the parks one evening, and they had some encounters with people. Or rather, I should say, there were some people that had encounters with God. Through them, God touched these people through their love and their acts of kindness. Amy Granger was sharing to our leadership team some of the stories, and she said it was literally amazing. And she told us stories with tears in her eyes, how God touched all kinds of people, people from different ethnicities. Oh, there's a fly coming at me there. Devil is the lord of the flies, right? 2 weeks ago, Amy's daughter, Larissa, I think she's about 12 years old, wanted to sell brownies at the coffee bar because she wanted to help those homeless people, those poor people, because of her experience that night. And she wanted to give all the proceeds to help people. Jessica Watson, I said, Jessica, you were part of that team. And she said, you know, she said, I felt like I was on high after that. I felt like I was on a high after that. These people have nothing. I would love for them to come to church. How can we get them here? Wow. See, your invitation is important. We are his hands, we're his feet, and we're his voice. And if we're not doing it, they're not going to hear it, right? Number four, one more. Never give up on the master to use your story. Every single of us have a story. You have a powerful story to tell of your encounter with Christ, how he came into your life. Every one of us has a story. Amen? Well, then, never give up on the master to use your story so that his house will be what? Full. And I'm talking I'm talking about his physical house. I'm talking about the church. And I'm talking about his house in eternity. Because they're synonymous. They're the same thing. What you see here and the people you see here are the people you're going to see there. When D.L. Moody later moved to Chicago, he wandered the streets to find people to bring to Sunday school class. He had a passion for souls, and he was determined to never let a day pass without telling someone the gospel of Jesus Christ. Often he irritated strangers on the street by asking them if they were Christians, but his pointed questioning stirred the consciousness of many, and God used the converted shoe salesman to become the leading evangelist of his day. Now listen to this. Estimates vary, but Dwight Moody is thought to have led as many as 1 million, a million Christians, a million people to confess their faith in Christ. Wow. Wow. One person reached a million people for Jesus Christ. Just one converted shoe salesman. Just one man, one servant who was obedient to his king. You know, the word of God says go. Jesus said go into all the nations and preach the gospel to people. Amen? And when you go, tell your story. Because someone else is going to see something of themselves in your story. Amen? So here, three things to do when you go. Number one, go with God's eyes. God's eyes. See, say, God, show me people through your eyes. Be intentional. Be intentional. Amen? I'm going to find someone to tell my story to. Number two, go and connect. Go connect. I see. Just start making new contacts. Just start making new contacts. Expand your sphere of influence. Amen? Number three, go make new friends. Go make some new friends. You know, I want to tell you, you do not have enough friends in your life. Would you agree with that? You do not have enough friends in your life. You need more friends in your life. In a Jim Rohn article, certain people were asked to share just one key to success in their life. Just one key. These are all very successful people. And they were asked to share one key. You know what every single one of them said? That one key was? Is this. Just be good. Just be nice to people. You know, when Jay was just a little toddler, I used to take him around with me all the time. He always wanted to hang around with Dad. We go to baseball games. We go down the street. We go downtown, you know. And I ended up always talking to a lot of people, but I never said, "Jay, just wait in the car," or "Jay, just sit over there while I talk to this person." I always brought him along with me, because I wanted him to be able to be a person who was able to connect, to see how to connect with people. So I would talk to people. I would have conversations, and he saw me. And you know what? And today, Jay is a people person. And everybody loves Jay because he loves people. Amen? Be nice to people. Luke chapter 14, 23. Then the master told his servant, Holy Spirit moment. The master told his servant, go out to the roads, country lanes, and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. No matter what church, anywhere in the world, in North America, anywhere, no matter how big, no matter how small they are, no matter how medium they are, every church's goal is to be bigger. The bigger we are, the more difference that we can make. The more resources we have, the more people we have to start ministries, the more creative we can be we can become, the more that we can do. Amen? It's amazing what we can do if we all pull together. And when we're united, when we're united together as the church, I tell you, we can change the world. You know, I realize a lot of people can't get past this. They think, well, I'll just show up in church, check in for the week or check in for the month, and then they're just gone. But listen, everyone, if you know, what they're, you know, what's happening to them, they're literally missing the power of the kingdom. They don't realize the power of the kingdom. They're missing it. You know, his church is the very thing that Jesus wants us to wrap our life around. Amen? He wants to use your life to bring hope to the world, to bring hope to your neighbor. And he wants to use your life to further God's kingdom. Amen? Collectively, we have more power than we could ever have alone. Amen? Ever have on your own. Here's a question. I'm almost done. Have you ever sing by yourself? Ever sing by yourself? Sing out loud? Often, you know, Karen and I, we might be lying in bed, and I might put on a set of headphones and just want to listen to some music. And inevitably, when I get into the music, you know, I'll start to sing, you know, without even realizing it. And every time I do that, you know what happens? Karen goes like this. He says, "Sweetie, you sound really bad." Does that ever happen to you? That happens, right? But you ever notice how good you sound when you're singing with other people? Do you ever notice that? Yeah. You know what that is? It's the power of one voice together. Way more powerful than alone. Amen? We are so much more powerful when we're together. God wants a full house. And he wants you to do your part to fill it. Amen? God wants City Light Church full. This is your house. This is your home, and it's God's. So let's do our part. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You know, you may be here today, and you've never made a decision to receive Christ into your heart to be Lord and Savior. You never made that decision to receive the gift of eternal life, a brand new start here on earth, and your final destination in heaven. It's the greatest, most important decision that you could do is to ask God for it. All you have to do is receive it, believe it, and just receive it. Amen? And the Bible says it's by grace through faith that we are saved, not by any works. So if that's you, and maybe you're listening online, and you've never accepted Christ, I want to lead you into the most powerful prayer that you will ever pray. Are you ready for this? Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you died on the cross for me. Thank you for shedding your blood to pay for my sins. Today, I invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Listen, if you sincerely said that prayer and you're here, will you go back to the welcome lounge? Victor is there. He'll greet you. He'll tell you what your next step in your faith walk is with God is. It's just a decision. Your whole life, a whole brand new life awaits you. If you said that and you're online, will you just push that little hand at the bottom of the screen? That'll connect you with us, and we'll tell you how you can begin this brand new life with Jesus Christ. What an incredible decision that you have made. So if you made that decision, you're sitting here, make sure you go back right after the service and talk to Victor. Okay? Amen. Amen.